there's a better place to get your podcasts. GCNLive.com. Hundreds of thousands of hours. Archive for your listening pleasure. All free at GCNLive.com.
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
The only thing we have to fear is fear itself.
I'm not a crook.
If you like your health care plan, you'll be able to keep your health care plan.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, fire.
You're listening to Jim Paris Live, your source for the latest news on money, politics, prophecy, and preparedness. And now your host, the editor-in-chief of ChristianMoney.com and the author of more than 30 books, Jim Paris.
All right, we are back. Welcome to hour number two of the broadcast. I'm getting emails now during the break that Anton LaVey is dead. See, that's how out of touch I am with my satanic trivia. Who knew? I just remember seeing him on, I believe it was, I don't know, years ago, maybe with Geraldo, maybe with Phil Donahue. But apparently he's been dead for years. So if I'm on Jeopardy, I will not be picking Satanism for $1,000, wink. not doing that. But it looks like there is a new head of the Church of Satan. Let's see here if they tell us who it is. It's a husband and wife team, it says here. But I don't know. I'm curious your feedback on that. Would it be interesting to bring a representative or the top folks from the Church of Satan on the broadcast to just kind of figure out what makes them tick? This whole thing of this Happy Holidays big display that they put up in Tallahassee. I think it's just weird that they are interested in us having a celebrating Christmas. The way I understand the story, Christmas was not, it's not a good day for the devil as far as Christ being born. All right, but we move ahead here now. This hour, my guest is Lamar Waldron. He's the author of a number of books on the JFK assassination. He also has a book out on Watergate. And Lamar Waldron, it is so good to have you with us, sir. I have to tell you, it is a great honor as a person myself that reads all of these books on the JFK assassination. You, sir, are the one writer that I tell everyone is you are the guy to read. Your books are the authority. And in my view, you have the top book on the whole topic. And if you want to read one book, folks, read his latest book. If this is all you're going to read on the JFK assassination, read his latest book, The Hidden History of the JFK Assassination. I'll tell you what, I had this book, Lamar, but somebody took it from me. And that's what happens is your books get stolen from my office frequently. So that's why we were trying to get another copy of it. But great to have you with us, sir, for the first time on Jim Paris Live.
Great to be with you, Jim. And I appreciate hearing those kind words about my work after 25 years. It's good to know there are people out there listening and, you know, who still care about this issue. And you're right. Everything from 25 years and three earlier books has all been boiled down into my smallest book. It's only 500 pages of The Hidden History of the JFK Assassination.
And one of the things that was interesting about this book is that it takes into account a lot of new information that you were able to pull together from new documents being released. Can you tell us what documents were significant that were released? When were they released? And what about this idea that in the next couple, 3 years, there's supposed to be another large dump of documents related to the JFK assassination?
Well, most people don't realize just how much was kept secret at the time and then the immediate aftermath of JFK's murder. The Warren Commission, which was appointed by President Johnson, was only the first of six government investigating committees and commissions to look into various aspects of JFK's murder. Tremendous amount was held from them by the late 70s, the last congressional investigation. Most people don't realize the last congressional investigation officially concluded JFK was killed likely by a conspiracy. And they even identified the two likely culprits who they said, quote, had the motive, means, and opportunity to have assassinated JFK. And that was the godfather of Louisiana and Texas, Carlos Marcello, and the godfather of Tampa, Florida, Marcello's very close partner, and that was Santo Trafficante. Now, a lot of information, as it turns out, was withheld from that congressional committee, and justice was obstructed, as many historians have now thoroughly documented, because in the 1990s, Congress unanimously, I mean, think about that. How often does Congress do anything unanimously except raise their salary?
Right.
Unanimously passed the 1992 JFK Act to release all the JFK assassination files. At that time, people assumed there might be a few thousand pages still secret, you know, maybe 10,000. Well, as it turns out, they released 4.5 million pages of files. And it's taken myself and other historians and journalists, you know, years to go through all those files, 4.5 million pages. However, they kept most of the most secret files secret, even though Congress said they should be released. And so estimates range from NBC News estimated, they said millions of pages. A Washington watchdog group, OMB Watch, who watches over the budget, they interviewed someone who worked with the National Archives, and they said a million CIA records alone, not pages, records, remain secret. We don't actually know how many pages because, get this, over 50 years after JFK was murdered, the National Archives refuses to even say how many pages of files and how many thousands of feet of FBI undercover audio tape remain secret. Those audio tapes are important because, as it turns out, and as I was the first to report, in the mid-1980s, the FBI, in a very top-secret undercover sting investigation, Marcello was finally in prison, something the Kennedys in their war on the mafia were never able to do. He was finally in prison by the mid-1980s, and the FBI got one of their own people, an FBI informant, to be Marcello's cellmate in prison, where, by the way, Marcello got incredibly lush treatment because he was the powerful godfather and the prison was in Texas. And Marcello confessed in the prison yard to this informant and another witness. But then inside the cell, there was a bugged transistor radio, court-authorized, you know, I quote and show the documents and everything, a court-authorized bugged transistor radio recording everything Marcello was saying in the prison. And Marcello talked about how Jack Ruby was his man, about how he had arranged to meet Oswald, about his pilot, a disgraced a former Eastern Airlines pilot by the name of David Ferry, who also did work for the CIA, how basically he had killed JFK and imported a couple of hitmen in from Italy to do the job who couldn't be traced. So much, there's just so much great information on these audio tapes. Needless to say, while I have almost 100 pages of files about that operation, I've talked to the FBI informant, I've talked to the lead agent, I've talked to the FBI supervisor, all that information's in the book, the FBI refuses to release the actual tapes and transcripts.
And you've got to wonder, all these years later, I mean, even if you assume the worst-case scenario that, let's say, as you're suggesting here, that the mafia killed JFK, and let's say that it even is worse than that, that maybe some very high people in our own government knew about it and at a minimum sort of looked the other way, and that could go all the way up to LBJ, some people speculate. What would be the risk or issue of people learning that today? Is it just a fear of the unknown, of what the reaction of the public could be to something like that?
Well, it's twofold. First off, you know, it would actually be great in the long run for the agencies to release this information, because all of my research and that of most of the other serious historians and journalists show that, you know, it wasn't a high-level conspiracy in the U.S. government. There were three attempts to kill JFK in Chicago 3 weeks before Dallas. Most people don't know that. In Tampa, Florida, during his long motorcade there, 4 days before Dallas. Most people don't know that. And then finally, in Dallas itself.
And Lamar, we're going to ask you to hold because it's our first commercial break. When we come back, we'll talk more about the failed assassination attempts in Chicago and Tampa back in 1963 and more on the JFK assassination with our special guest, Lamar Waldron. Hi, this is radio talk show host and proud gun owner, Jim Paris for HomeGunBusiness.com. Recent statistics show that gun sales are absolutely going through the roof. Honestly, it's no wonder today that people are buying guns in such record numbers. I just stumbled across a very, very interesting way to cash in on the explosion in firearm sales. Did you know that you can legally set up a home-based gun dealership and the cost to obtain a federal firearms license is ridiculously low? As an FFL dealer, you can even buy your own guns and ammo at wholesale. Now, if you'd like to get all of the details and the information you need to get started in a business like this, check out the website HomeGunBusiness.com. That's HomeGunBusiness.com.
Thousands of people seeking home security get ripped off every day, and the home security industry wants you to believe that's your only option. They've got hordes of salesmen out there trying to scare you into signing one of their long-term contracts. You get stuck writing huge checks month after month with no way out. It's robbery by contract, and it can cost you thousands. But there's a better way to protect your home. Simply Safe Home Security. Simply Safe has no contracts. None. You'll get award-winning 24/7 protection. Security professionals watching over your home, ready to instantly send police to the rescue. For just $14.99 per month. That's less than half what most companies charge. Protect your home the smart way. Visit SimplySafeDefense.com today for an exclusive 10% offer and get a free keychain remote worth $25. Only when you go to SimplySafeDefense.com. SimplySafeDefense.com.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with principal office in Houston, Texas is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24/7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.
Have you ever felt like the United States government knows way too much about your financial affairs? I continue to hear stories about property seizures, frozen bank accounts, confiscation of stocks and bonds. It makes me wonder if the U.S. citizen will ever again have the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Unfortunately, with the Drug and Money Laundering Act, the IRS Revenue Ruling 6045 of 1984, and the Trading with the Enemy Act and Franklin D. Roosevelt's Executive Order of 1933, some precious metal holdings are subject to government intervention. For this reason, Midas Resources has prepared a report explaining the boundaries of trading precious metals privately. Whether if you have any intention of trading with Midas Resources or not, I have instructed my representatives to give this report out free. Call for your free copy at 1-800-686-2237. When investing, always proceed with caution. Again, call 1-800-686-2237. Exercise your legal right to trade metals privately. 1-800-686-2237.
Are your Google search results killing you? Unflattering content in blogs, news articles, online reviews, social media, or other sources can jeopardize your reputation, your business, and your livelihood. Let Reputation.com help. Our patented technology will make the truth about you more visible while pushing down unwanted negative content. Improve your Google search results. Call Reputation.com at 1-800-831-0771 for a free consultation. That's 800-831-0771.
You are listening to Jim Paris Live.
Okay, we are back. My guest this hour is Lamar Waldron. Just really a legend, folks. I mean, this is the guy to listen to on the JFK assassination. He wrote The Hidden History of the JFK Assassination. That's the new book. Also, the book that you'll find in most libraries, this is how authoritative the information is, the book called The Legacy of Secrecy, You're going to find that in most of your libraries, but you can grab your own copy at Amazon. And he also has a book out on the Watergate, Watergate, the hidden history. And then there's also another book on the JFK assassination, Ultimate Sacrifice. All of that is over at Amazon.com. Lamar, I have to tell you, we were talking about the two plots before Dallas, the Chicago and Tampa plot. And I myself wrote a book on the JFK assassination with my business partner, Robert G. Etman Jr. And our book is a short book. It's one of those books that's available only on Kindle. It's about 80 pages in length. And we got into sort of a different angle on the Federal Reserve and all of that sort of thing. But nonetheless, as a writer of that book, I started getting questions from people asking me, in all my research, what were the two things that kind of surprised me the most? And I want to tell you what those two things were, because one of them came from your book, if not both, possibly. One of them was that I had never known, even though I had read so many books, maybe I just missed this, that there were two planned assassination attempts prior to Dallas, just leading up to Dallas. And then here's the other weird piece of trivia that I think is just strange, that the car that JFK was killed in, the presidential car, actually stayed in service for many years afterwards. It was repainted, repaired, and they redesigned it with, I believe it was bulletproof metal and so forth, but that car continued to carry presidents around into the future. So those are the two things that struck me. And the car issue you might think is odd, but I don't know. I would have thought that car would have been somehow taken out of service just, I don't know, out of superstition or whatnot, but that it continued to carry presidents through motorcades years into the future. And most people didn't know that, but that car is now in the Ford Museum in Detroit. But, you know, before that, it was certainly being used for many years. But let's start by talking about the two attempts before Dallas and why that wasn't a tip-off to the Secret Service and the FBI when they had word of the risk that was occurring leading up to Dallas.
Well, and again, Chicago and Tampa, those two attempts, they really go to the heart of one reason that so much has been kept secret about the JFK assassination, because once you hide something like that, not just after JFK's death, but even before JFK was murdered, you know, to ever come out and say, oh, by the way, JFK was almost killed using the same exact plan and in Chicago 3 weeks before Dallas and in Tampa 4 days before Dallas, think, you know, how that would have shaken the trust of the American people in their government and their institutions. You know, and then this is all pre-Watergate. This is pre, you know, the Vietnam War big protest. This is 1963 and 64. You know, things were still very straight-laced then, just like the 1950s. So once you kept those things secret, and the biggest irony of all, in some ways, is that it was John and Robert Kennedy who kept those two attempts out of the press. The one in Chicago was so serious, JFK had to cancel not just his motorcade, but his entire trip at the last minute. And I spoke to a Secret Service agent about that, to JFK's press secretary, who had to issue two phony excuses for this last-minute cancellation, even as people were starting to line the motorcade route. And it really angered the powerful Chicago mayor at the time, Mayor Daley, who pretty much ran that city but was a close ally of JFK's father. So that was just a big deal, and he had to cancel the attempt. There were four men involved. Two were under surveillance by the Chicago Secret Service, who then lost that surveillance. There was an ex-Marine with a lot of similarities to Oswald. He was older, but his background has a lot of similarities, who was actually arrested, you know, with a rifle and a lot of rounds of ammunition. He worked at a warehouse overlooking the motorcade route. But all this stuff was covered up. The Warren Commission never was officially informed about the Chicago attempt. They heard just a few rumors that they tried to run down, but they were completely in the dark. And then the Tampa attempt stayed secret for many years until myself and my research associate discovered that by going through thousands of pages of newspaper microfilm in Tampa, and then was able to confirm that with the Tampa chief of police at the time, another high Florida law enforcement official, again, more Secret Service. And that motorcade did go through. Jackie was not with JFK. So even though JFK knew about that threat, he had to go through with that motorcade because another big thing most people don't realize, the United States was getting ready to back a coup in Cuba set for 10 days after Dallas, and the night of the Tampa motorcade in Miami, JFK had to give a speech where the CIA had helped him write a few lines directed to the number three man in Cuba, the head of the Cuban army, the founder of the Cuban army, who was going to overthrow Fidel and invite U.S. troops in to help maintain order and prevent a Soviet takeover. So with that kind of national security consideration hanging in the balance, JFK couldn't very well cancel his second motorcade. They might not be able to keep the real reason out of the press. He went ahead with the threat, but the godfather of Tampa had his men on the Tampa police force. His main man on the Tampa police had found out, had tipped the godfather off, so they called off that attempt. JFK didn't know it. He went on that long motorcade, and that must have been a horribly scary thing. So then we come to Dallas. And in Dallas, there's no active threat that anyone knows about. So JFK's presidential Secret Service agents, 10 of them, go out drinking late at night to the Fort Worth Press Club and to a sleazy bar called The Cellar, where reportedly they all deny it. Secret Service investigated, you know, found that, well, this sleazy nightclub sometimes served rum flavoring in fruit drinks, so it might not have been real rum. America's top investigative reporter at the time determined if some of the agents were drinking. They were out at this club where the waitresses were half-dressed in lingerie.
Times haven't changed much, have they?
Right, until 3 to 5 a.m. And you're exactly right. So when people hear these recent Secret Service scandals about the Secret Service agents drinking and the prostitutes and all that kind of stuff, this has been going on for 50 years. But because it was covered up back then, We still have these problems, but there was one Secret Service agent who had been protecting JFK, Abraham Bolden, the first black presidential Secret Service agent in American history, personally selected by JFK to be that first black presidential Secret Service agent. And he was a good Christian guy, you know, didn't drink or go out and party until 3 and 5 a.m. He encountered so much racism and was so shocked about all this drinking and lack of security, He eventually got transferred to the Chicago office, where he saw how the Secret Service kept that attempt covered up. And so in the spring of 1964, this is months after JFK was murdered, but while the Warren Commission was in session, Bolden realized the Secret Service hadn't been told about, you know, all the late night drinking, that it wasn't even just that night before JFK was killed. There were many other nights. And
Lamar, I'm going to have to stop you again. We'll pick up after this break. And your phone calls for Lamar Waldron, 877-317-6432, 877-317-6432. More on the JFK assassination right after this. Stay tuned.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX, or my website, danpilla.com.
Owe $10,000 or more to the IRS?
Get on board with the Tax Admiral! Don't pick on the IRS alone! I'll cut penalties and reduce your overall tax bill. Sometimes I can even get it zeroed out completely!
We're an A-rated company helping people clean up their mess with the IRS.
If you owe $10,000 or more, then call the Tax Admiral!
Call 800-287-7180. Again, that's 800-287-7180. 800-287-7180.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number. 1-855-905-MY-TV. The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. Say goodbye to the cable guy and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money. Call 1-855-905-MY-TV. Sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99, and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional installation. information. You control what you watch when you watch it. Record your favorite shows. Pause and rewind live TV. Even skip the commercials. Watch local channels too. At just $19.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV. Say goodbye to the cable guy. Cut costs and get more. 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV.
Do you owe the IRS money? Has the IRS garnished your wages or put a lien against your house? The IRS has the power to make you pay back what they claim you owe and will stop at nothing to collect. There is a solution. Call Signature Tax now. Speak with our professionals and feel the weight of your tax burden lifted from your shoulders. Call now for your free and confidential analysis. 800-481-3147. Again, that's 800-481-3147. 800-481-3147.
Are you tired of commuting to a job that makes someone else rich, working harder than ever, but getting nowhere? Do you hate spending hundreds of dollars every week on daycare, having someone else raise your children? With our opportunities, you can start earning money as soon as next week. You get to be the boss, work from home, and live a happier life. At Be The Boss Network, you'll find hundreds of work-from-home opportunities that you can literally start today and be earning money as soon as next week. Go to freedom106.com and start earning money as soon as next week. You get to be the boss. Get out of the rat race. Work from home. Go to freedom106.com right now and change your life today. That's freedom, the number 106.com. Go to freedom106.com and start earning money as soon as next week. You be the boss. Go to freedom106.com.
Okay, open your mouth and say, ah.
Ah. When your child has a sore throat, you need to know when to get help. The doctor-recommended Say-Ah Sore Throat Exam is your solution. The scientifically designed oral retractor offers a clear view of the throat, relaxing the tongue and minimizing gag reflex. Compare with a medical-grade chart, website, and app. Then you'll know just what to tell your doctor. A wellness plan in your hands in minutes. Go to SayAhNow.com. SayAhNow.com, the new mainstay for every family's first aid kit.
You're listening to Jim Paris Live.
All right, we are back, and this is an opportunity you won't get often. In my view, the foremost expert on the JFK assassination is with us tonight, and you can talk to him directly. We're going to open up the phone lines right now. If you're listening between 9 and 11 p.m. Eastern on a Sunday night, you're listening when we're live. In fact, it is 10:33 Eastern right now. And if you're listening in the Central Time Zone, that's 9:33 on a Sunday night. We are live. You can call right now. Your questions or comments on the JFK assassination for our special guest, Lamar Waldron. The book is The Hidden History of the JFK Assassination. And here are your phone numbers, 877-317-6432, 877-317-6432, or you can send your questions by email to jim@christianmoney.com. Again, the number is 877-317-6432. And Lamar, I want to go back to something you had said a moment ago about the Chicago attempt that was planned on JFK just before Dallas. And you said there was actually an individual that looked like Lee Harvey Oswald that was the shooter. And the reason that interests me so much is many of the most popular JFK assassination theories involve Lee Harvey Oswald lookalikes or multiple Oswalds. Do you have any thoughts on that angle of all of this?
We have to be very careful because he didn't look like Oswald, but he had many parallels in his background to Oswald. He was several years older. He'd had ties to naval intelligence. He had recently been training anti-Castro Cubans like Oswald. He'd even moved into a YMCA in Chicago and gotten a job at a warehouse overlooking the motorcade route at the same time Lee Harvey Oswald moved into.
That is bizarre. I mean, talk about, a coincidence. I mean, that's ridiculous.
Well, it's beyond coincidence. And then in Tampa. And so he was, and actually the guy in Chicago was not a shooter. He was basically, a patsy. He wasn't one of the shooters. He was the guy who was supposed to take the fall for the assassination. The real hitmen, the Secret Service, lost surveillance on them. And then in Tampa, there was a young man, a Cuban exile, who had 22 documented parallels to Oswald. Again, didn't look like Oswald exactly physically, but the same physical description. In fact, the description the lookout issued in Tampa right before JFK's murder matched Oswald much more closely than the first description issued in Dallas, who called after JFK was shot there, which was for a man much older than Oswald and much heavier than Oswald. So, and again, the gentleman down in Florida, Gilberto Policarpo Lopez, I mean, he even left his wife the same time Oswald left his wife. He started hanging around with people connected with the Fair Play for Cuba Committee in Tampa when Oswald was doing that. So, and again, that gentleman didn't kill or try to kill JFK. That guy was going to be an innocent patsy. Several other people who worked for and with Carlos Marcello and Santo Trafficante, the godfathers who both confessed, Trafficante later confessed to his attorney just before he died. Other people who worked for those mobsters confessed, and they basically said Oswald was a patsy. I mean, he didn't shoot anybody. He wasn't an experienced hitman. Before he left the Marines, he was such a bad shot that sometimes he would sometimes miss not just the bullseye, but the entire target. So, no, the mafia uses experienced hitmen and all this. But you're right. There are a lot of unusual reports about Oswald who didn't drive, didn't own a car. There's a report of an Oswald near Chicago a couple of months before that attempt. So clearly someone was trying to frame Oswald or the Tampa patsy or the Chicago patsy. And in fact, the Tampa patsy went to Texas after the Tampa attempt was called off. So if Oswald had been hit by a truck that morning or had woken up, with a severe case of food poisoning, JFK still would have been killed.
I mean, this is almost like a
this is someone else.
This is like a touring Broadway musical. Oswald had his own understudy, just in case.
Oh man, that is such a great parallel. I've never used that. I'll have to start using that on my radio appearances because you're right. So there were three plans to kill JFK. There was one plan, and like a Broadway musical, it toured to three cities. And you're exactly right, except with the mafia. You know, even the mafia's backup plans have backup. So, and I don't know about Broadway shows, but it'd be like the understudy having an understudy.
Oh yeah, so, and there is an understudy of the understudy on a big Broadway show. Okay. So there you go. All right, now the emails are pouring in, and we're going to get to email questions here right now. But again, callers always go first, and if you'd like to jump to the head of the line, 877-317-6432. Your questions for our guest tonight, Lamar Waldron. The book is The Hidden History of the JFK Assassination.
And Jim, if I could make one more,
sir,
quick point,
sure, go ahead.
Start taking questions. And that is, in May of 1964, several months after the murder, so you've got Abraham Bolden, the first black presidential Secret Service agent who had to leave presidential protection because of all the racism and drinking he encountered, and he knows the Warren Commission hasn't been told about those problems. He knows they haven't been told about the Chicago and Tampa attempts. So he goes, he's preparing to go to Washington to tell the Warren Commission staff, hey, you guys, there's a lot being hidden from you guys. The day he's going to Washington, he is arrested on trumped-up charges based on information from two mob guys he had arrested. And so he's basically framed by the mafia. And even though the judge in his case told the jury before they deliberated that Bolden was guilty, the trial goes ahead. That conviction is thrown out. Bolden is the same biased judge. He's convicted, sent to prison. Bolden's main accuser, a mob guy who Bolden had arrested a couple years earlier, admits he committed perjury and lied about Bolden on the orders of an assistant district attorney in Chicago. That assistant district attorney refuses to even talk to the court and refuses to answer questions about this framing of Bolden, but Bolden gets kept in prison. So this one heroic guy who tried to get all the truth out back in 1964 has been fighting to clear his name for over 50 years. So one thing your reader, your listeners can do, I've started a White House petition that people can find the link to at the Hidden History of the JFK Assassination.com to try to get a presidential pardon for Bolden and to get all of the JFK assassination files released, because the CIA said in a court filing more than a year ago they might keep all these, the remaining million or so pages of files, secret in those tapes until past the 2017 deadline. So if your listeners ever want to get those last million pages and get these audio tapes of the Godfather talking about having JFK killed, you know, if they don't sign that White House petition and maybe try to get their friends and relatives too in this holiday season, we may all die before we ever.
Well, we're going to do. I'm going to do a big campaign to on my email and everything. Now that I know you're doing that, and to producer Joy, please put that up on our Twitter feed. Find the link to the petition and put that up. The link to that, would that be on your website, Lamar?
Right, right. That's the best place to get it. The Hidden History of the JFK Assassination.com. Very easy to remember thing.
Abraham Bolden. I've got the Wikipedia page up here. African American.
Devout Christian, his whole life. I mean, just the most outstanding, upstanding. Because, you know, in the early 60s, you know, a black man had to be not just as good as a Caucasian, you know, he had to be exemplary. And he was, and that's why JFK picked him. And it's just the saddest thing. And I've been, you know, trying to get attention for his case for years, and I appreciate you so much letting me come on your show to tell your listeners about this, because, again, that's one reason my books were so big. There's just so much information that has been withheld and then is still being withheld today.
Yeah, it really is shocking. All right, what we're going to do is do this. We've got another break coming up here, so we'll get to the questions right after the break. We still do have open lines available, 877-317-6432, 877-317-6432. We've got tons of emails, and the question we're going to get to first after the break, we're going to talk about the mafia. And why is it that if the mafia helped JFK get elected, why would the Kennedy brothers go after the mafia? Kind of weird, but that's a great question. We're going to ask it to our guest, Lamar Waldron, right after this. Hi, this is radio talk show host and proud gun owner Jim Paris for HomeGunBusiness.com. Have you seen websites or even heard radio ads offering guns for sale? Well, let me let you in on a little secret. Did you know that if someone buys a gun mail order, it must be shipped first to a local federally licensed firearms dealer? Now, the local dealer can make $25 to $50 for simply receiving the gun and doing the paperwork for the buyer. Now, most people don't know that they can do this. They can become a fully licensed federal firearms dealer for under $200, operate a business like this from home, and just doing these simple transfers, they can earn hundreds of dollars per week. Now, that's not all. As an FFL, you can also buy guns and ammo wholesale for yourself. Check it out today, HomeGunBusiness.com. The website, HomeGunBusiness.com.
Hey, Berkey Guy here. Are you still drinking unfiltered tap water? Does your water contain chlorine or fluoride? Will you have drinkable water in an emergency? The Berkey Guy is here to help you remove these and other potential contaminants from your water, thus helping you drink clean, purified water. We offer Berkey water purification systems at the lowest available prices online. Don't go another moment without Berkey system. Over the last 10 years, we've helped thousands drink clean, purified water. Join them by visiting goberkey.com or call me, the Berkey Guy, at 877-886-3653. That's 877-886-3653.
Healthy, organic, fresh fish, robust, mouth-watering vegetables, all from your home. It's called aquaponics. This brilliant, self-sustaining protein and veggie system is perfect for year-round growing. Know exactly where your food is coming from. AquaponicsSource.com is the one-stop shop for all your needs. Fish, fish food, plumbing, full systems, classes, and more. Learn to build your own system. Go to AquaponicsSource.com for a free guide to aquaponics. That's AquaponicsSource.com.
We the People grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit, then carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Hi, Ted Anderson. I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
Ouch! My back is out again!
Hi, Dr. Ortman with Wellspring Spinal Care. If you're experiencing neck, mid, or lower back pain, this information is for you. One of the complaints that I hear is patients receive their typical adjustment, only having to repeat them as the pain returns. Putting the bones back in place is only half of the battle. At Wellspring Spinal Care, we have the entire solution. We use the NUCA approach, utilizing three-dimensional x-rays and gentle touch technology to deliver specific correction. We then design a custom nutritional supplement program which provides essential nutrients targeting the areas of concern. With a NUCA approach and proper nutrition, you'll be on your way to a faster and more permanent recovery. To get you on the road to wellness, visit drortman.com. That's drortman.com. Or call us today, 952-303-9124. That's 952-303-9124. Wellspring Spinal Care, chiropractic done right.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson, Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with principal office in Houston, Texas, is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24-7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.
You are listening to Jim Paris Live.
Okay, we are back, and we need your help on this petition. And producer Joy is putting a link up on my Twitter feed at James L. Paris. And we need 100,000 signatures on this to release all of the JFK assassination files now and pardon ex-Secret Service agent Abraham Bolden. This is at the White House petition section of the White House website. And we do have a link to that up at twitter.com/James L. Paris. These questions are fantastic. All right. Somebody's asking about the guest that we had on last week. Her name is Judith Very Baker, and she holds all of these people in very high esteem, including Lee Harvey Oswald, including David Ferry. And we're this person, probably because they were on my show last week, one of my listeners is asking what your thoughts are about Judith Very Baker and her work. Some people question her story that she was the lover of Lee Harvey Oswald. You have any thoughts on her or any of her claims?
Sure. She was thoroughly investigated years ago. I think she was first going to be on a television special that then didn't make it or got pulled. But most serious historians and serious investigative journalists don't find her credible on her claims about the assassination and Oswald. Very likely she met Oswald and could well have known Oswald, but her claims just don't stand up to scrutiny. I'll give you a great example. I mean, David Ferry was a horrible guy. He was a convicted pedophile. I mean, he worked for the godfather, Carlos Marcello. So he was a pretty terrible.
And this guy was probably as weird as they came. I had read that he was caught having homosexual relations, sex on the job as a pilot twice before they fired him.
Right.
And then pedophilia, everything else. Crazy stuff.
On young boys, stuff like that. So, I mean, so again, like I say, unfortunately, if people can just Google her name and the words discredited and that sort of thing. I do want to address that question you raised right before the break, which is a great question. What about the mafia? People say, well, didn't the mafia help elect JFK in Chicago? Investigated all that thoroughly, along with other historians, here's what we found out. Sure, there were some mobsters that claimed JFK was only elected due to their help. But your listeners can ask themselves, how much help does a Democrat need to carry Chicago overwhelmingly? Political scientists have analyzed the vote totals in every precinct in that election, and they have found JFK got no special help from the mafia because the political boss that ran Chicago, Mayor Daley, the most powerful mayor in the country, he ran Chicago like his personal kingdom. I mean, he was a big JFK supporter. So, and in fact, it's just the opposite. John and Robert Kennedy came to prominence in the 1950s by going after the mafia, because President Eisenhower, upstanding guy, no hint of corruption, right? His vice president, Richard Nixon, as I documented thoroughly, and other people have too, in my book, The Hidden History of Watergate, was the mafia's candidate from the word go. I mean, Mickey Cohen of the Los Angeles Mafia was a big contributor from Nixon's first political race. The mafia had its run of America in the 50s. J. Edgar Hoover, for most of that decade, denied the mafia existed. Mafia didn't just run a lot of cities in America. They ran Cuba. And so the Kennedys were the only politicians to really stand up against the mafia. They even went after Jimmy Hoffa and the Teamsters, and of course most unions usually support Democrats. And so JFK ran on an anti-mafia platform in the 1960 election. Marcello and Trafficante, the Godfathers, and the mafia in Chicago, they gave a $1 million bribe to Richard Nixon to stop charges against Jimmy Hoffa, but to help Nixon in the election, because Nixon was running against, get this, the son of the richest man, one of the richest men in America, the Bill Gates of his day. So the stories that somehow JFK, whose father was the Bill Gates of his time, needed $30,000 from the mafia to win the primary in West Virginia, these claims, when investigated by serious political scientists across the political spectrum, they don't stand up. I mean, Nixon was the mafia's candidate, and that bribe to those mobsters in 60 was also designed to help those mobsters kill Fidel Castro right before the 60 election. That didn't happen. Nixon didn't get elected. But the CIA, not the director, but a couple levels down because the director got replaced, the CIA kept working with Trafficante and Marcello and their ally Johnny Roselli from the Chicago Mafia into 1963. So that's the big thing the CIA is covering up, is that the CIA, without authorization from JFK, without authorization from their own CIA director, was working with the very mobsters to try to kill Fidel, but those mobsters needed to kill JFK because he had a massive war against organized crime. I mean, he was going after the top godfathers in a way that had never happened in the 50s, and that coup that JFK was backing for Cuba to happen 10 days after Dallas, the mob was banned from that plan and was banned from reopening their casinos. So Carlos Marcello was on trial the 3 weeks in New Orleans on federal charges. So, I mean, these guys, and he wasn't a citizen, so he could have been deported again. Kennedy's had done that once, and he had snuck back into the country. So you had this huge war against organized crime. Organized crime had nothing to gain by letting this coup in Cuba go ahead. They had everything to gain by killing JFK before that coup happened, and in that case, they might have been able to get back into Cuba. So that's the story of the mafia.
Fascinating, and sure, yeah, and that does contradict what many people have said over the years. And this is another great question. And speaking of documents that have yet to be released, we have an emailer here. This person is emailing us from Los Angeles. And by the way, folks, please include your city in your emails. That is very helpful so we know where you're listening. The question is, how significant would it be to be able to get your hands on the tax returns of Lee Harvey Oswald? And I guess the upshot of this, from what I have heard, is that this could for once and for all settle the question of whether or not he was on the government payroll at the time that he was involved in the assassination.
It's one of many documents that people are shocked we don't have. Like, we don't have the ownership papers of Jack Ruby's club, I found out, because Carlos Marcello's organization secretly owned it. But yeah, you're right. Such a basic document as Lee Harvey Oswald's tax returns are not public today. But I could answer that question about was Lee Harvey Oswald on the government payroll or not. He totally was. And your listeners, if they're ever arguing with someone who may not believe in a conspiracy that killed JFK, they can always use this and win any argument. You know, because supposedly Oswald was some big communist since the time he was a teenager, according to the Warren Commission, who, you know, killed JFK. Well, how many teenage communists joined the Civil Air Patrol? How many teenage communists joined the United States Marines in the conservative 50s? How many teenage communists not only want to join the Marines so bad, they try to join the Marines before they're even old enough? And get this, once he was in the Marines, he went around in the late 50s spouting a love of Russia so much and trying to teach himself Russian, a difficult language. He eventually got military help for that from our military. He spouted a love for Russia so much that his Marine buddies called him Oswaldskovich. Guess how many times Oswald was ever written up or disciplined by his Marine drill sergeants or any officer for spouting that love of Russia? I can tell you exactly how many times. A big fat zero. Oswald was one of six young men that went to Russia around the same time. Five of those young men came back around the same time with Russian wives. He was part of a U.S. intelligence program, get people over there, bring them back, and then the goal was to see how he or his Russian wife would be recruited by the KGB in America. That's why I was able to document Oswald was under tight surveillance from the very day he came back from Russia, where he had gone on orders of U.S. intelligence. So he was under tight surveillance the whole time he came back, and again, that's something else.
So the double agent theory, you go along with the double agent theory, but then the triple agent, he never became the triple agent. But let me ask you this, because we're almost out of time. This is another great, great question. So, and this is one that I've had for the ages. If it was a single shooter, why not take the shot on Houston instead of waiting until after the turn and taking the shot on Elm, unless there was the crossfire, as Jim Mars puts it, the triangulation shot? Your view on that?
I can tell you exactly what, because, and again, just so your listeners know, what you're talking about is originally the limousine was coming directly at the school book depository right below the so-called sniper's nest. It had to practically stop and make that very hard left turn, and then it slowly gained speed as it went away from the book depository, and the shooting doesn't start until it's, you know, well away from the book depository and there's trees and everything. And of course, there wasn't one shooter there. The first shots as
multiple JFK shooters. Lamar Waldron, we are out of time. The hidden history of the JFK assassination. Jim Paris. Hi, this is radio talk show host Jim Paris. And if you are like me, you hate all of those monthly bills. Well, I reached the point about 3 years ago that I decided enough was enough, and I went to war with my personal stack of monthly bills. I canceled cable TV and legally connected my television to the internet, and now I get hundreds of free TV channels, and I don't pay for cable TV. I found a little-known way of getting free home phone service for life, and I discovered a totally legal way to opt out of Obamacare and cut my health insurance bill by more than 60% per year. If you want to learn more about my personal war on monthly bills, check out my website, ChristianMoneyPlus.com. That's ChristianMoneyPlus.com. If you're just plain sick and tired of those monthly bills, check out my website, ChristianMoneyPlus.com.
Sciatica, lower back pain, hip pain, poor posture. If you suffer from any of these problems, get ready to relax. Introducing an amazing product that's been in the market for over 25 years, the Sacro Wedgie. It was invented by a football coach using a common sense osteopath technique. He created this device to help his athletes by isolating and supporting the sacrum, which is the keystone of our anatomy. This wedge-shaped bone is in the center of our hips, where a lot of pain starts. Simply relax 20 minutes daily on the amazingly simple Sacro Wedgie and let
gravity do the work, helping muscles rebalance and start releasing nerves. Sit in the sacral wedgie at the computer or while traveling to help correct posture to finally help relieve those stubborn aches and pains for only $33.95. It's made in the USA, so click the family-owned website at sacrowedgie.com, spelled S-A-C-R-O-W-E-D-G-Y.com, or call 1-800-737-9295. That's 1-800-737-9295. Relax your back pain away with the sacral wedgie.